In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Country artist Jake Matthews, born and raised in Sudbury, now calling Calgary, Alberta home, recently released his third album, Red Tail Lights, and that features the top 10 hit, If I Had It My Way. He's here to talk about the album, songwriting, performing live, and much more. Plus, I've got a couple of his songs to share. Let's welcome Jake Matthews to the show. Hey, Jake.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, I'm doing great here. How about you?
Good. Just got back home from doing some radio dates in Ontario and out there for the CCMA, so it's been a busy time.
I'll bet. And at the CCMAs, you were involved with the great event there, the Songwriters Cafe. How did that go this year?
Oh, you know what? It was great. That's I was fortunate this year. I had the opportunity to both host it and perform at it. And it's got to be one of my favorite events of the weekend because it gives you that chance to, or the people a chance to, you know, to listen to the stories behind the songs. And one of the cool things I think that happens is a lot of, you know, the artists, the songwriters, you know, typically play songs that aren't, you know, necessarily a hit song, just, you know, songs that they love. And it's cool because it gives you a, you know, chance to hear something new.
That is, and to hear it new and directly from the songwriter, there's a certain rawness about it, isn't there? And sometimes there are songs that may not sound like they could be hits, but it's probably an interesting choice for an artist to maybe decide to record one of those and sort of see what kind of spin they can put on it.
Yeah, you know what, that's true because, you know, spending time in Nashville and going to writers' nights out there, like at the Bluebird and those types of venues, it's interesting to see and to hear the songwriters, you know, have their take on a song because a lot of times it's completely different than what the artist ends up recording. But there's absolutely, like you said, a rawness to it and kind of an honesty to it. I mean, I think the songwriters, you know, tend to have a really good grasp of the emotion that they're trying to convey, and it's pretty cool to hear them do this, you know, their own version of things.
I'll bet. And as a writer yourself, you've had stuff recorded by other artists, and I'll let you give some of the names. One of them I know is J.D. Bixby. The title track, Easy to Love, was a song that you had a hand in writing. Can you share some of the other cuts you've had lately?
Sure. Well, I had a few songs recorded by Willie Mack on his last album, as well as another artist from Ontario, Larry Berrio, which recorded, I think, four or five of my songs on his last album. And I think one of the songs that got quite a bit of play was a song called Boomerang, and that Larry had released.
Right.
And so it's been good. You know, I've been spending the last few years writing quite a few songs, probably like a couple of hundred songs in the last few years. So it's nice to have some songs, you know, find a home if I don't end up doing them myself, to have other artists record them. And that's a great, you know, it's just as exciting to hear somebody else, you know, sing your song on the radio than it is, you know, to have it doing it yourself. It's such a cool feeling.
I'll bet, because there's so many songs out there getting pitched, that the fact that an artist chose your song to record and then, of course, it becomes a single, let's say, on the radio, then that's defying a lot of odds, and it's showing that there was obviously great belief in the song.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you nailed it. I mean, there's just so many songs out there these days and you know, so many songs being written, and the artists, you know, typically just, you know, pick 10 to make their album, and then to have it, you know, maybe a few of them end up being singles. So the odds are definitely against you, but yeah, it's always exciting for when that happens.
Now, do you have a song of yours in your catalog, Jake, that you think is perfect for an artist? Maybe it sounds like a George Strait song or Rascal Flatts that you think you could have a good chance if you got close enough to pitch it?
I did. Well, you know what? I actually had a song that I released. Well, actually, I didn't release, but it was recorded on my first album, a song called I Think of You. And that song was actually on hold for George Strait and made it right till the end. I mean, he had actually taken in like 23 songs to record for his, not this last album, but the previous one. And he had 23 songs, you know, in the studio that they were cutting, and one of them was mine, but it actually didn't make the final. But, yeah, it was close. That would actually, that would have been probably my, you know, my, the ultimate for me, because George Strait is definitely one of my biggest influences, and to have him, you know, even to know that he was listening to a song that I wrote is really cool.
Yeah.
But to have him record it would be, yeah, it would be incredible.
Did you get a chance to hear his version of it?
No, actually, I don't know if they actually ended up cutting that song. It was kind of in their last, in the handful of songs they were taking into the studio to record. So as far as I know, they didn't get to the point where they actually cut it. So,
right.
But just to be that close is
yeah.
a cool thing.
That
yeah.
is very cool. That says a lot about the song and its potential for other artists down the road, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about Jake, some more of your influences. So there's George Strait. Who are some of the artists that growing up you listened to and sort of aspired to be like?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of you know, older country music. I mean, you know, Merle Haggard, Conway Twitty. A lot of that was played in the house. Buck Owens, and I think you know, a little bit more a little later on, Dwight Yoakam, I think, was definitely another one of my big influences. I loved the stuff that he was doing, and when I was playing in bands, I mean, I, you know, always learned a new George Strait, definitely, but then also a new Dwight Yoakam song. So he's another one that, you know, that was a big influence.
And all those artists are really known for their great songs. Conway Twitty, you know, he just knew how to pick a great song and deliver it.
Yeah.
And so obviously that's an influence on you too, just how important the song is and conveying the emotion in it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's where, you know, that's where people make their connection to country music is in the songs and the stories that they tell and the emotions that they convey. So, you know, that was that's what drew me into country music, and you know, most of the listeners out there, that's kind of what draws them in. So I always, you know, try to keep that in mind when I'm writing a song, is to try to have something that people can latch on to in the song. Either it's, you know, even melodically, I mean, that helps too, you know, just having something catchy, or just in the story itself, something that they can relate to.
And country artists usually have those type of songs, and they get fans, listeners, afterwards, say at a show, come up to them and say what that song has meant to them. Have you had that experience with some of your songs, and people sort of saying that song helped me, or what the song means to them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's happened with a few songs. That actually, the other song that I was mentioning, I Think of You, I actually did that live on the radio once early on, and the radio station got a call right away, called in, and what she said was, I felt like Jake was singing right to me, you know. I mean, she really connected with that song. And then I've got another song that was released just a little while ago, Forever's on Our Side, that I got a lot of emails about and a lot of messages. And it's, you know, it's more of a love song, but I got a message from someone saying that it was their anniversary, and they were riding in the car, and that song came on, and it was the first time they heard it, and they said they really connected to it and decided to make it their song, which I thought was really cool, you know.
Yeah. Pretty amazing that you can write something and you believe in it and you know it's a good song, obviously, and you put it on your album, but other people start to bring it into their lives and then tell you that, and you know that it's also resonating with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, and I think, you know, for the most part, we're all the same, right? We all kind of go through the same emotions and feel the same things. Yeah. And I try to write songs that mean something to me, and I hope that, you know, that translates to someone else, for sure.
I'm speaking with Jake Matthews. You can learn more about him at jakematthews.com. His new album is called Red Tail Lights. You can check that out on iTunes. Let's turn to the song now that went top 10, If I Had It My Way. Spent 30 weeks on the Canadian country charts. It did great for you. And the interesting thing about this song is the subject matter is on the sad side, but it's an up-tempo, catchy song. So So you kind of blended the two.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny the way that ended up. You know, that was one of those writing sessions where we, my co-writer and I wrote with a fellow Canadian named Dave Thompson, and we really didn't have an idea what we were going to write that day. It was the first time we got together to write, and we literally just started strumming, and the first couple lines that came out were, you know, if I had it my way, there'd be a new Beatles song. We thought, you know, that's kind of interesting. Let's just kind of run with it. And we ended up writing that song, and it's true, you say. I mean, when you listen to the song itself, it's kind of a, you know, fun, up-tempo, you know, groovy kind of thing. And then, but when you look at the lyric, it's about, you know, a girl leaving this guy behind. So it's a bit of a contrast, but yeah, radio's been great. They really, you know, been really supportive, and the listeners, and you know, who called into the radio station and who have, you know, downloaded the song from iTunes. The support has been great.
Yeah, well, let's share that now with everyone. This is Jake Matthews, and If I Had It My Way, here on In the Country. Canadian country artist Jake Matthews and his top 10 hit, If I Had It My Way. Again, great catchy song, and I remember when I heard it first on the radio, one of the lines or phrases that jumped out at me was impossible possibility. I thought that was great writing.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's funny. We just kind of stumbled onto that as we were, you know, trying to fit something in there, and the impossible possibility kind of came in, and we kind of looked at each other and said, can we even say that? Does that make sense? But yeah, no, it was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's one of those, to me, it stood out and it just added something to it. But
yeah,
when you have a song like that and you've written it, maybe you've just sung it on your guitar up to a certain point, when you hear it come alive in the studio and all the bells and whistles added on, do you get chills ever yourself to hear the finished product?
Yeah, well, you know, it's always exciting to to take it to that next step. You know, when you're just strumming it on the guitar, I think you can, you know, having written, you know, a bunch of songs, I think you get to the point where you can start hearing the production on it and hearing where it's going to go. But sometimes when you go in the studio, it doesn't quite end up the way you want it to, or, you know, it's just, it might have a bit of a different vibe or something. But this song really did, I mean, it really did, you know, kind of come alive in the studio, and you know, I think it turned out exactly the way we wanted it to turn out. So, which is always good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
I was reading on your website in your bio talking about some of your influences, George Strait and Randy Travis, and
mm-hmm.
even though you liked their sounds and they were influences, you've always tried not to sound like somebody else. Is that a hard thing to do in the beginning, Jake, when you're singing, to find your own sound, what that's going to be?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, especially when you're influenced, you know, by some of those great artists, you know, like George Strait and who's got such a great singing style and delivery. I mean, I think, you know, at first, I think you kind of, you know, listen to those songs and you learn them and you play them in bands and you kind of sound like those guys a little bit, or you take on the inflections, you know, that they have.
Yeah.
But it definitely does take a little bit of work. And I think where you really start, you know, finding yourself and finding your own voice is when you start writing songs or you start recording, you know, original material, because at that point, I mean, that's when you have to make it your own at that point. So,
right.
I think that's an important step, you know, to anyone who's out there, who's, you know, starting a singing career or kind of, you know, trying to find their way or trying to find a sound. I mean, I think that's the best way to do it, is to latch on to some original material and you know, just make it your own for sure.
Do you recall back when you first started songwriting and sort of your first attempts at it? Did you get involved in it? Because obviously that's the career you were pursuing, but did something inspire you at the time?
You know, I think it was just kind of a natural thing because, you know, being surrounded by music from an early age, I mean, I come from a fairly large family. My dad is, you know, one of 20 kids, and so kind of growing up, you know, surrounded, a lot of my uncles and aunts played music, and you know, kind of grew up with that whole, you know, playing songs around at family reunions and around the campfire and stuff, and I think it was just a natural thing to progress and just start writing songs. And I remember when I was about, I think it was about 15 years old when I started writing songs, which were just horrible, you know, just these terrible songs. And then I think I really seriously started writing songs when I was probably in my early 20s, and after playing in bands for a few years and wanted to, you know, try to do my own thing. And that's kind of where that all started.
Did the process get better just with more writing, or did you get involved in different organizations, or somebody mentored you to get the songwriting to the next level?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, it definitely takes time. I mean, you know, like in anything else, like there are some people that are just extremely gifted, you know, right off the top. You know, they just have that ability to do that kind of thing. But for the most part, songwriting is something that you're always learning. I don't think you ever know everything about writing a song. So the more I did it, the more comfortable I got, the more confident I got in writing. And then I ended up doing kind of like a songwriting retreat up here in Alberta, and met Rick Beresford, who's he wrote "If Drinking Don't Kill Me" for George Jones, you know, all those years ago, and
yeah, smash,
and yeah, some of that stuff, and we got to talking, and he invited me down to Nashville because he liked some of the stuff that I was writing, so he invited me down to Nashville, and he set me up with appointments to write with Roger Cook, and you know, who wrote "One Night at a Time" for George Strait, and just, you know, a million other songs. And so he kind of took me in a little bit and mentored me in that sense, where he introduced me to some of these great classic, you know, country writers. And doing that for a couple of years, it was quite a learning experience. And, you know, I just got to sit in a room with these guys and, and watch them do what they do and be involved with it in it too, which was just incredible.
It must be in the beginning a little nerve-wracking with, obviously, you know, these credits and the big songs they've written, and they're, you know, starting the song, and you're thinking, well, should I throw out this idea because maybe it's not that good?
Yeah, well, it probably wasn't. Yeah, it probably wasn't that good, you know. And but that's the thing with writing is you can't be afraid to say what's on your mind and what you're thinking, and because a lot of the times what you'll find is, you know, during a co-writing session is you might say something which is, you know, totally ridiculous or just doesn't follow the path of the song, but it might trigger an idea for your co-writer. And, you know, to get you back on track, but everything you say is part of the whole creative process. I think you gotta, you know, get everything that's wrong out of the way before you get to what's right, you know.
So there's no censoring, there's no sort of putting judgment on a thought until you put it out there. And like you said, it might not tie into that song, but maybe it'll trigger in another direction. It'll get something going.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, for the most part, I mean, I've never had an experience where I was writing with someone who, you know, who just said, well, you know, that's kind of a bad idea. I don't want to write with you anymore, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, writers, you know, kind of know that it's just part of the process, right? And you might say something that's, you know, not, like I said, not really in the direction of where you're heading, but it might trigger something else. And I think that's one of the cool things about co-writing is, you know, more than likely your co-writer's, you know, been through those, has written bad songs too, right? So I think it's kind of a growing thing. And the more you write with someone, the more comfortable you get. And, you know, I think you end up writing better songs too.
That's great. Now, I understand through, I guess, your late teens, you did a lot of touring in the Ontario area as part of a band. What was that experience like? Did it get you comfortable on stage and interacting with an audience?
It did, you know, and I think that's another important thing is to get that stage experience. And, you know, I started out doing some singing contests when I was, you know, in my teens, and did the Simcoe Ontario, the Canadian Open singing contest, which was a great contest out there, and
right.
And some of the local ones, and you know, it's good. I mean, I remember going up there for my first time, my knees were literally shaking up on the stage, and, you know, being scared to death. But again, it's one of those things, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get, and getting out there touring and doing some shows is definitely important to, you know, to develop a stage presence and to start, you know, building that connection with an audience, which is so important, you know, when you're up there to make sure you're connecting properly and
yeah.
You know, making everybody else around you have a good time, right? So
exactly, because a lot of it is that entertaining up there. Now, there's artists like Conway Twitty, who was known for sort of singing the song but not doing as much talking. But I'm sure
right.
In your case, you get up there and you're going to tell some stories between songs and get the crowd going and relaxed depending on the situation.
Yeah, and you know what? Every venue is different. I mean, I do a lot of shows that are more, you know, acoustic style, where either you're in a theater or just like a smaller venue. And those are always fun because you get to, you know, you get that kind of intimate setting and you can talk a lot more with the audience and tell a lot more stories. But then, you know, you do a show like some of the shows I did this summer at Big Valley Jamboree or the Nashville North and at the Calgary Stampede, where it's just, you know, it's just a big, big crowd and you're just up there just having fun and, you know, trying to make sure everybody else around you is having fun too. Yeah.
Do you have any surefire cover songs that you can pull out when you want to get the crowd going, when you want to get them excited and on their feet?
Yeah, again, I mean, you know, it depends on the venue, but I had a good time this summer, and some of those dates were, you know, I did some Bryan Adams songs, and what else did I do for covers? I actually did a cover of A Grenade by Bruno Mars, which was kind of different for country, but with a fiddle and the acoustic guitar, it just sounded totally different, and it was crazy to see the reaction from the crowd on that. It was so much fun to do something like that, and that's one of the fun things about doing a live performance is, you know, you can throw stuff out like that just to have a good time, you know.
Well, it's interesting what songs from other genres can be made country and can kind of fit, like you said, with the fiddle in there. I mean, Sarah Evans has a version, a song called My Heart Can't Tell You No, which Rod Stewart had out back in the 80s.
Right.
And
right.
with the right instrumentation in that lyric is a country kind of lyric because it's an emotional one. But Bruno Mars' Grenade is, I could see that working as well, for sure.
I wasn't sure. I hadn't heard that before, and when I figured I'd try it out, I was kind of, you know, wondering how it would go over. But it just went over really big, and it was a lot of fun to do. And you know, it's fun to do some of those covers.
Now, what about a favorite country classic to do?
I always do either Cowboy Rides Away. It's one of my favorite songs, and definitely one of my favorite George Strait songs. So I'll usually do that song as a cover, or The Fireman. Those are definitely some of the classic stuff that I like to do.
That's a fun song too, The Fireman.
Yeah.
They're putting out fires all over town?
Yeah, that's the one.
Putting out old flames all over town. That is a classic one. Let's turn to one of your brand new songs, in fact, your new single called Might Take All Night. And this one you co-wrote with your friend and great Canadian talent, Derek Rattan, and he's on a worldwide radio these days too. So can you talk about the writing process?
Sure. I mean, that one was the title came from a different song we were writing. We were actually writing something else at the time, and I think that line came out, you know, might take all night, and we kind of looked at each other and thought, you know what, that'd make a great title for another song, for a fun song. And I was wanting to, you know, at that point I was kind of building, you know, my album and writing specifically for the album, and wanted to write something that was just fun and up-tempo and, you know, a little bit rocking and just something that, you know, people could kind of crank up and have a good time to. And that seemed like a great title for it, so we ended up writing that one.
Now, have you done a lot of writing with Derek up to this point?
I think we've written probably 4 or 5 songs together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Well, let's share this one now. This is the brand new single at radio, and obviously this is one that our listeners can request at their local country station.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's play it now. This is Jake Matthews and Might Take All Night here on In the Country.
Myself and call you up, baby. Meet me down by the mailbox in 5. Don't bother turning on the front porch light. This might take all night. Girl, what do you say? We paint the town red and get a little crazy. Light over my way. We'll cruise down Main later on. On the dash to the radio, yeah, you wanna have a good time. The way you're looking at me, girl, it's looking like it might take all night. Yeah, what do you say? We paint the town red, get a little crazy. Slide over my way, we'll cruise down. Riverside, barefooting in the moonlight. cruise down Main. Later on, maybe wind down by the riverside. Go barefoot in the moonlight. Girl, if we do it just right, just might take all night. Might take all night.
Yeah, there's Jake Matthews and his brand new song, Might Take All Night. He co-wrote that with Derek Rattan, and that's found on Jake's new album called Red Tail Lights, and you can check that out at iTunes. You can also find more about Jake at jakematthews.com. And first of all, great song there, catchy, and it sounds made for radio.
Well, thanks. I mean, that's what we're hoping for. You know, yeah, I mean, that's really what I was going for with this song, too, is just, you know, wanted to write something fun and something up-tempo and, you know, just something people can could crank up on the radio. So, yeah.
And we all need that. I've talked to some songwriters, and I do some songwriting myself. Usually what starts out is more of a slower ballad or a sadder song. I guess that's sort of a... It's a human thing to write, isn't it? The sadder stuff.
It sure is, you know. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of the songwriters I talk to, you know, as well, I mean, for some reason, the first thing you want to do when you sit down is, you know, start picking something slow and sad, you know.
Right.
And those up-tempo fun ones are tend to be a little bit more work for some reason, you know.
Yeah,
but you got to
work
harder for the fun stuff.
That's funny. You think it would be the opposite, but it's the human mind, human heart, whatever goes into the songwriting. I wanted to congratulate you. Well, this is actually going back a bit, but I wanted to bring out the fact that your album, Time After Time, in 2004, was awarded Best Album from Country Music News, great publication out of Ottawa.
Yeah, that was great. That was great to get that recognition. I was, you know, obviously very, very proud and still am very proud of that album. You know, put a lot of work into it and had some great songs that came out of there that did real well on radio as well.
Now, is there a stage, you talked about some of the stages earlier that you've performed on, is there two parts to the question, a favorite one, and is there a stage yet that you haven't performed on that you're looking forward to doing so one day?
Wow, that's a great question. Yeah, it's tough to pick one, but you know what? I've got to say, as far as a stage that I've played that's been really fun is the Nashville North stage at the Calgary Stampede, just because it's such a crazy atmosphere and people are there to, you know, to have a good time and you know, things are just, like I said, things are just crazy. So that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do that kind of thing. And do that kind of show. As far as one that I haven't done yet, wow. Probably to be up on stage at an award show, singing a song on the award show. I haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. So that would probably be one of my highlights if I can get up on there and do a song for at an award show. It would be incredible.
Great answer, and we wish you all the best with that. That is terrific.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about duet partners? Now, I often ask guests on the show if they have a dream duet partner, even if it's somebody way out there, even in another genre. But is there somebody you think your voices would go well together, or there might be an interesting dynamic if the two of you recorded a song?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would probably say... Geez, Leanne Womack or Patti Loveless. Those are probably two of my favorite female singers. So to do a duet with either one of them would just be incredible. And then on the guy side, George Strait would probably
nice.
Be, you know, the ultimate for me to be able to do a song with him, because, you know, like I mentioned, he's just such a big influence, and you know, that would be the ultimate.
And it's so great to hear the male duets. I mean, we obviously hear a lot of male-female duets, but two guys singing a song. You've got Keith Urban and Brad Paisley, who had big success, of course. Derek Rattan and Dierks Bentley. And it's kind of fun to see that dynamic.
It is, I guess, and Trace Adkins did one with Blake Shelton not too long ago too, which was kind of cool.
Billy
and yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's it kind of gives it a different feel, but yeah, there definitely that definitely would be fun to do.
Yeah, that's great. On the subject of, well, we went from dream duet partners, dream jobs. Is there, of course, this is what you're doing and this is what you love. In the back of your mind, is there anything, even if you don't actually attempt to do it, but you think, well, that might be kind of fun to try for a day or a week. Some job out there.
Something outside of music that would be fun to do? Boy.
I don't know, fireman or a...
Well, I think it would be cool
actor.
To be an astronaut, go into space.
Okay.
That would be cool. But I think I'd only want to do it once.
Do it once and...
yeah, just do it once. Yeah, that's right.
That might get routine after
that would
a while.
Be cool.
I'm going off in the rocket ship again today, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who wants to do that every day, right?
Every day, yeah. Well, it's great that you're doing what you love, and you've got this brand-new album, Red Tail Lights. Just want to ask you, Jake, as we're getting set to wrap up, some of your goals for 2011. Got a few months or so left in this year, and heading into 2012, what's sort of on your radar for the next little while?
Well, I'll be doing a Christmas tour this coming December, and... I'm going to be doing dates. I think they'll be mostly in BC and Alberta, but that's something that I'm looking forward to. And then just kind of on, you know, coming up for next year, just working right now on putting some shows together and getting some festivals lined up for the summer. Looking forward to a busy summer, and then you know, just release some more singles off the album.
Great. Well, it's been a real pleasure to chat with you and to share the songs. I've really enjoyed it and hope to do it again another time, and we'll cover some other topics.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dave. It was fun.
Awesome. My pleasure. My guest today has been country artist Jake Matthews, and again, his website, jakematthews.com. And the new album is Red Tail Lights, and of course, the song we heard is a brand new single. Be sure to call up your local country station for Mike Take All Night. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.